Welcome to the Stoke It Up podcast, everybody, a podcast encouraging you in your journey with God. I'm Alan Stoddard, and I'm your host, and I'm excited to talk to you today again about Easter. Easter's on the way. It's less than a month now until we will be celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I want to talk to you about how to get ready for it, part B. Last week, I talked to you about prayer mobilization, and I talked to you about inviting people to church and getting an invite card and mobilizing and communicating to the church at large. But today I want to talk to you about how to preach on Easter Sunday. We're in a culture where I've noticed the last 5 years or so, there have been people that pastors and preacher types that show up and they want to get cute on Easter. It's either with props or some show looking thing that's weird. I remember one pastor who just got lambasted after Easter. You don't want to be the church or pastor that gets pointed out for doing something cute on Easter instead of just preaching the simple gospel. On Easter, when you preach, you want to preach the gospel. Now, what is the gospel? Here's the good news. It's good news. Somebody said it's only good news if it gets there on time. We want to be timely. We want to have beautiful feet as we present the gospel. But what is the gospel? Let me remind you, these are the words of the gospel. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again from the dead on the third day. Unquote. That's 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4, paraphrased by me. I do believe you have to use the words Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again on the third day. That's the good news. The only part about that that involves me, by the way, is my sins, right? Christ died for our sins. I highly recommend you explain that. You could use maybe imagery on a screen. Most people would use a target and they would put a center mass there and they would put attempted hits at the center mass and how we miss the glory of God for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then what we do is we miss the mark. And it's the old English term, the sin. It's the difference between the center mass and where we can actually get. It's a simple illustration. It may come up short a little theologically or something. I don't think it does, but I'm just saying it's not no imagery is always perfect, but it's pretty good for what you would need to do to point out that we need Jesus. Now it says Christ died for our sins. So Christ died for our sins. He was that ultimate sacrifice. I would use the phrase substitutionary atonement and then explain it. You know, don't camp on theology or anything, but he was our substitute. Our culture will get that word. Many examples of that in contemporary culture, in movies, in heroism. He ultimately is the one that counts, though. The movies don't always count. For the most part, they don't. And Christ died for our sins. I would explain that. And then I would explain that we have a sin problem. So when we're talking about Christ died for our sins, we're not just talking about the three things that we got wrong last week. We have a real problem. And I think most people will come to church on Easter going, I know there's a problem. Absolutely right. You got an answer for what the remedy is for the problem? And we do. Christ died for our sins. So we're going to point out that we have the ultimate answer for our greatest need. The greatest needs we have involve two things, sin and death. Sin sucks and death sucks. And people need answers. So what's the good news? It is good news. Good news is that Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day. He laid in a tomb, dead, and then 3 days later, breath hit his body again, life hit his body again, and he actually came back to life. Truly, Christ was, in a sense, never dead because he's eternal. But he came in the flesh once again. He came in the flesh. He dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. John 1:14. When Jesus died, he died. He was fully dead. And then he rose again with life from the dead. And that picture is what happens in our lives. Romans 6:4 says that we were baptized just like him into his death, and we are raised to walk in newness of life. The good news is you can have a new life in this life. The good news is Christ is our life. And it's all about Jesus. On Easter, I would not preach on marriage. I would not preach on finances. I would not start a new series on some a topic. I know of a preacher that one time preached at Christmas, and he actually said, I was so happy about the New Year's message that I preached it on Christmas. I just thought that's admirable, I guess, but not really. So what do you do on Easter? What I'm trying to blab out is that if you think about preaching Easter, you want to preach on the gospel. Now, the gospel is not accepting Jesus into your heart. The gospel really is not receiving Christ as your Savior. Although I use that term, I don't really use the term accepting Christ. I'm not against that phrase, by the way. I usually use received because I think it's a more biblical word. John 1:12, as many as received him, to them who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. When you preach Easter, I want to encourage you to preach the gospel. Just preach the gospel. Preach shorter on Easter. You don't need to preach longer. Now, you don't need to preach too short, but you don't want to preach long because you should give some kind of altar call response, some kind of opportunity for people to share Christ. You don't have to do a full-blown altar call. What do I mean by that? Let me explain. The good news is Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again. That's the gospel. The bridge to the gospel is repent and believe. Mark 1:15. When we get done sharing the good news of Christ and however God wraps it up in whatever passage he puts on your head and heart to preach, through your body, your head, heart, and hands, whatever he does, you're going to want to, at the end, give some kind of opportunity to respond. It's a dereliction of duty to preach the gospel and not give an opportunity to respond. And it's an egregious dereliction of duty to not preach the gospel, especially on Easter. Well, when you get to the end, however you do it, you want to exactly know where you're going. It's like landing a plane. You do not want to wing it. So how could you do it this Easter? How do you normally do it? You don't want to be too radical and freak everybody out. If you're going to do an altar call, you've got to have a certain amount of decision counselors. What if you did this? What if you did a response moment at the end of the service? And that's why you don't want to preach long, because if you preach long and then you try to give some kind of response moment, you've wasted the sweet spot. You want to preach about 20, 25 minutes and then give a significant, meaningful, spiritual, prayed up and down response moment. What if you shared the gospel and you simply said something like this? Guys, I'm at the end of the message, and before we go and get out of here, I want to give you an opportunity to respond. There's no greater day than Easter than to give your life to the Lord. I've told you that the gospel is Christ died for our sins, and he was buried, and he rose again from the dead. And here's what the Bible says. We have to turn to God, repenting of our sins, and believing by faith that he died for us. And when we make that decision, we have crossed the line of faith. And what if he said something like this? There are some of you, you need to make that decision right now. You've never made it. I'm not here to force you to do it. And I'm not a salesman. I'm not trying to sell you anything. I'm proclaiming the good news of Christ to you. And on this Easter, there is no better day of the year that you could pick to give your life to the Lord. What if you asked Christ to come into your life right now by believing in the gospel? Something like that. What if you said something like that? And then you actually said that something like this. You said, look, if you want to make the decision right now, why don't you just say, Lord, forgive me. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose from the dead. And best I can, I give you my life. And then here's what you could do. You've got to know what to do next or else you won't catch the harvest. You want to have the right net. My friend uses a crappie rig when he fishes. It's got a few hooks on it. You want to have a few hooks. One, you want to have a card in every seat. Everybody gets a card on Easter. You could do that. I'm a card person. I like using cards. It could be an interactive card, but at the very least, it would have a name, the place for a name, cell number, email, or maybe just a cell number for Easter. Make it real simple and put on the card, I received Christ. And then you could have a blank for, or a dot or a box to check off for baptism. If you're going to have baptisms on Easter, you could go ahead and say, we had baptisms today. Maybe you would like to be next week. I'm willing to follow up with you and I'll meet with you this week if you're willing. I can almost guarantee you. I can't guarantee you much. I don't guarantee much, but I will guarantee this. I can almost guarantee it. If you will think through and pray through your response time, you will see someone there make a decision for the Lord. You will see a new convert. Let's say you don't. What if this is the season that God might want to use to revitalize your gospel sharing in your teaching? I'm a Calvary Chapel person, so there's a lot of teaching that goes on verse by verse, but I've got a little Baptistic flavor in me, and I also think, like Greg Laurie, you know, it would be a high crime against the kingdom for me to teach the Bible, to preach the word, and to not preach the good news of Jesus somewhere in that text, to be Christ-centered and to give someone that might be there a response. The entire sermon may not be evangelistic, but I'm not going to ignore evangelism in a church that is an outpost of God in the outskirts of hell. Okay, so another thing you could do is after people fill out the card, you got to have a way to get that card back. So what if you said to them, take that card out to our next steps table, and there's somebody there that's ready to take it from you. If you made the decision for Christ, just go up to the table and they're going to grab that card and they're going to fist bump you and say, congratulations, we'll reach out to you. Have a great Easter. You don't want to keep people too long on Easter. You don't want to try to do all of your follow-up on Easter. You can only do so much on Easter. You may be led to do a little more than that. It may work for some people. For some people, it won't. You could also have a QR code up on a screen where people could pull out their phones. You could say, if you prayed to receive Christ, pull out your phone right now. And here is a QR code. Fill out this connection form and we will follow up with you. And they could request baptism and they could identify whether they've received the Lord that day You could have a time. I would highly recommend this. There will be some there that you could say, and you could do it in a way that's very spiritually appropriate. We're not trying to run the numbers up, but you could say, some of you, you're here on Easter and you know the Lord, but you're not walking with the Lord and you know you ought to be. Why don't you rededicate your life to the Lord today? You could use rededication and do it appropriately. I could name you people who rededicated their life to the Lord, and they were so glad they had the opportunity that somebody softly challenged them. And when I say softly challenge, I mean challenge them hard, but don't use guilt. When you do your response time at the end, when you preach the gospel and you preach the Bible, and you're not going to get cued on Easter, and you preach, and you get to the end, another thing you could do, if you're not great at sharing the gospel, is you could have somebody else come up and share the gospel. I don't usually like to do that, but I have done it before. Here's another thing. If you preach short and you have a very vibrant music time, what you could do is have somebody prepared to share a 3-minute, and it has to be 3 to 4 minutes max. They could share their personal story of how they came to know the Lord, and just set it up and say, and if you have somebody that received the Lord on Easter and you could get that, man, have them share that story. And then it will just set up the sermon and the response time. It's crucial. You may want to do a full-blown altar call where you, and this is where you need multiple hooks. Not everybody's going to come down to the altar. You may say something like this. Now, you prayed to receive Christ, and you've got that card right there, and you're ready to make this thing public. And you may say something like this. Not all of you are going to go public right now. Some of you, you're not ready for that, but there's a few of you, you are ready. And I like to say few because I like to make it hard. But you say, there's a few of you that you would love to go public. And I almost guarantee you there will be somebody that will do it. Now, you could say, have everybody still seated. Don't have people standing up because it's harder for them to get out of the aisle, in the seat aisle. But you could say, come right now. And if they're seated, just let people celebrate. Say, man, if there's one person, people are going to start clapping. It'll be awesome. Now, it's a little risky because you got to step out on faith. And what if nobody comes? Well, that's where you just say something like this. You say, you know what? And you may want to do this instead. You may want to say something like, okay, we've shared the gospel, and some of you, you have made the decision. So since you've made the decision, I want to encourage you to take that card after the service and bring it up to me. So sometimes I've done that. You need to have multiple hooks. And maybe right now you're listening, you're going, okay, I know what I need to do. And you're not even addressing what I need to do. That's awesome. But as you get ready to preach Easter, I want to encourage you to keep it simple. Don't get cute. Don't be the pastor that does something crazy. You don't need a big prop on Easter. You just need your Bible, and you need the gospel, and you need prayer, and you need to mobilize your people for praying. This could not only be something that impacts Easter, but it could impact the next season of your life by you paying attention to what I'm talking about here in this podcast. So I want to stoke you up. I want to get you excited, and you need to start praying about it, and you need to start actually practicing it in your mind and in your talking a little bit. If you're uncomfortable with this, I'm going to tell you this. If you don't share the gospel, people don't get saved. If we don't share the gospel, then, but we say we do, are we not functional Calvinists? If we teach the word of God, but don't share the gospel, what if we taught on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but then said, what a wonderful story. Now we'll see you guys next week. No. The resurrection demands a response, at least an opportunity. And I would say this, no preacher or no teacher is worth his or her salt If the preacher can't stand on the edge of the stage flat-footed and say, I preached the gospel and I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond, it doesn't matter if no one responds publicly in the way that we might think they should. I can't remember an Easter where someone didn't get saved, but I definitely can remember Easters where sometimes more people got saved in the weeks after Easter than they did on Easter. So this is a crucial, crucial component to what's coming. Well, I want to stoke you up. The Stoke It Up podcast is a part of the CGN Media, and we want to encourage you in your journey with God. We want to help you in your ministry and your personal ministry and in what God's doing in your life. Very excited these days about what's going on. Go into the CGN podcast media and look at the Expositors Collective. You're going to want to look down and see those previous Easter episodes. There's quite a few of them there. If you go back a couple of years, it's awesome. Also, I want to encourage you to, again, keep things stoked up for praying and for evangelizing and motivating people to invite people for Easter. We've still got plenty of time to get some invite cards done in churches, to encourage people to invite their friends. This is such a good time to go sowing the seeds of the gospel in our communities. I pray the Lord will bless you this Easter season. I'll be back next week with another podcast. I've got some things percolating, but I thought in this season, I would just get on here and encourage all of you to get busy about encouraging your pastor and you pastors in the ministry to get ready for Easter. So love you guys. God bless. I look forward to seeing you online, and I will definitely see you next week on the podcast.